What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to an attorney prior to and during any questioning. You can't afford one in a court appoint one for you. You understand your rights?
Your crime spree was over, son. Yeah, you thought you had it licked, but Hitman and Overton made your sugar turn to shit. Get ready, you're gonna do time. Real life, real crime.
Warning. Each episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast will contain descriptions of acts of violence or of a sexual nature and are for people that are 18 years or older. Heed my warning, people. I do not get the facts of these cases off the internet or from some television show. These facts I'm retelling were presented to me by the victims of the crime or the perpetrators who committed the crimes. My descriptions of the crime scenes are what I saw with my own two eyes. If you are going to get offended, turn this podcast off now. Thank you. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. As always, I'm your host, Woody Overton, and
the Hitman, Jim Rathman. How's everybody doing?
So, y'all, coming to you today, I'm going to do an episode that is pretty hard for us. But before we start, though, I want to talk about a couple things. And one is I want to say thank you to all the listeners. You're awesome. We couldn't do it without you. Y'all are liking and sharing us and making us grow huge. Thank you to our patron members. You're awesome. Your support is awesome. Y'all, we know the audio was bad last week. We have one of our listeners, of one of our lifers, Lonnie J. We want to give a shout out to him who's helped us get it somewhat better this week. And, we'll have it even better next week. So, and Jim, tell me about Instagram and stuff.
The Instagram is Real Life, Real Crime. So go to it, follow it. You can also follow me. It's Jim_Rathman. So look us up, start following us. We appreciate it. Look forward to corresponding with everybody on there. Have fun with it. We'll post pictures and videos and different things as the time goes on and make it happen.
Yeah, and I think one of our new Dream Team members, Lori Goolsby, is helping you with that If they have any questions, they can.
Fantastic.
So if they have any questions, they can hit her up. Also, I'm not an Instagram guy. I don't know anything about it. But we're trying to learn, y'all. We're trying to bring it to you in the different platforms and Instagram and Twitter and YouTube and all this stuff to make it grow. But we got to remember, you're dealing with two career law enforcement officers. We're certainly not computer experts, and we're certainly not audio experts. So if it's not, I know it's better than it was last week, and we're going to continue to get better. I promise you that. So Jim's got a new microphone and stuff like that, but we're just going to try it out and see. And as y'all know, as always, we're raw and unscripted. That's just the way we roll. So
that is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. That being said, this is a tough deal. And in a couple weeks ago, I don't know, maybe a month and a half ago, I was on the road. I was actually on an airplane, and I landed in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And when I turned my phone on, it started blowing up. You know, you're on the plane and you're getting ready to disembark. My shit's going crazy. And it's all about Denny Perkins, Denny Perkins, Denny Perkins. I mean, I got like 20 different people texting me and messaging me. And I'm like logged in and I saw it. I like to shit my pants I guess we should start with how we know Denny Perkins, et cetera. But the deal is, for the people that don't know, Denny Perkins and his wife, Cynthia Perkins, were arrested on a whole bunch of serious, serious charges. Jim, do you have them with you? I know it's like 60 counts of child pornography, some rape, different things. Let me look at it real quick.
Give me one sec, number four. Sorry, I didn't have that read.
That's all right. That raw and unscripted, y'all.
Let's see. All right. Got it.
So the I have it, Jim, if you want me to read it.
Because I pulled up all the different things. All right.
So this is what we have, y'all. And this is actually from the Morning Advocate, the Baton Rouge paper. That's the first thing that popped up when I Googled it. And it says a Livingston Parish deputy and his school teacher wife, who are accused in child porn cases, are scheduled to, well, this is a later date. Try to find the original one. How about this?
So what I have here, Denny Perkins is facing 60 counts of child pornography charges and rape involving juveniles under the age of 13. His wife, Cynthia Perkins, a former Livingston Parish school teacher, is being charged with similar charges. I could break it all down. I can find a booking sheet when this all went down. But that's some serious freaking charges.
All right. Well, let me tell y'all who they are. Okay. The Denny Perkins at the time of his arrest was the lieutenant over the Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office, SRT, or basically more commonly referred to as SWAT. And SRT stands for Special Response Team. And he's a career law enforcement officer. And we'll get into that in a minute. His wife, Cynthia, is a school teacher. I think she taught fifth and sixth grades in Livingston Parish also. Now, let's go back to late 2000, early 2001. I moved to Livingston Parish. I took a job with the Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office in the Uniform Patrol Division. And it was at that time, Denny Perkins was working for the town of Walker, Louisiana Police Department. And I met him, I'd see him in like court on motions to suppress hearings. And I would see him on the street a couple of times, but mostly I worked the east side of the parish and Walker was on the west side. But that's the first time I remember meeting him. And I can tell you, Denny, I'll describe him for you, has always been really, really physically fit. Workout is a big deal for him. And, you know, charming smile, very, very, very intelligent guy. And the, you know, so I came to know his reputation in the beginning because Denny worked a lot of dope cases. Now, in the small town of Walker, that's a pretty challenging deal. But the reason I paid attention to that and would see him so much in court is because when I was in uniform patrol and I wasn't answering regular calls and making regular arrests, I loved to work dope, and I made a name for myself in it. And so we would always, you know, be together in court on dope cases and stuff like that. But I think it was like 2003, he left the Walker Police Department and came to work for the Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office in the Uniform Patrol Division. We were put on the same shift in the Uniform Patrol Division. And Denny and I, there were numerous times that he would work the east side of the parish. Now, remember I told you in previous episodes, Livingston Parish is huge, but for law enforcement purposes, we divided it geographically by east and west sides. Okay. The east side being more rural with the smaller towns, but also a much, much larger landmass, and the west side containing basically Walker, Louisiana, and Denham Springs and some outlying areas around there. So we were on the same shift. And Jim, I think this would have been the year. When did you come to the sheriff's office?
It's like 2000, beginning of 2004.
Yeah, speaking to your mic, it cut out a little bit.
It was like beginning of 2005.
Okay. All right. So that was a little bit before your time. So we were working on, Denny and I working together. And when you're on the east side of the parish, the west side would have a lot more guys, a lot more uniform patrol deputies because they had a lot more call volume. You know, everything from thefts to 911 disturbances or whatever, wrecks. On the east side, it used to be a running joke. Like they say, if you get a 911 call of 103G on the west side, 103G being a disturbance with a firearm, they'd say 9 times out of 10, you'd get there and there would be no firearm. The east side being more rural, when you get a 103G, you better strap it on because it was on, right? It's totally different people, and almost everybody over there was armed. So when Denny and I would work together, sometimes it was just he and I for the entire east side of the parish. And so, you know, think about that. I had no backup. Denny was my backup. And other than the small town guys would come back us up on some of the calls. But when you're in a situation like this and you work a job where your life is on the line, literally every moment, whether you're going to answer a 911 call or, you know, you're in a foot pursuit with a bad guy or whatever it may be. Or if you're just hanging out and bullshitting because it's a slow call night, that you're hanging out waiting on the next call. I mean, you spend 12 hours a night with this person and, you know, you become tight. And Jim, can you explain to the listeners now that being in law enforcement, it certainly is a brotherhood, and the whole blue wall thing and all that. But when you are in those kind of high, tense situations and, you know, whether you're fighting somebody together on the ground or you're clearing a house and it's just you two or whatever. I mean, I can't equate it to being in battle like Jim has. Jim was a captain in the 82nd Airborne, he's a decorated war hero, and I'm going to give my boy his props because they're due. But, Jim, explain to the average listener what it is that makes such a bond between people who work that type of situation. I don't know how to explain it. You did.
The best one put it, you know, when you work with somebody around the clock or almost every single day for hours, the blood, the sweat, the tears that go into all the training, all the work, everything, period. But that bond comes incredibly close when your life is truly on the line and you have to depend upon your friend or your buddy to have your back. Now, we all have friends that, you know, you get in a fight, maybe they'll help you out with a fight or something like that. It's totally different when you're talking about your life because there's no reset button. There's no doing this over again. When bullets get flying, you find out who your friends really are. And that bond is incredibly, incredibly strong. You know, some of the guys that I served with in the military that I went to battle with are still to this day the closest individuals in my life because you share some sort of an experience. You share a bond that nobody else can really have unless you're in situations like that. And in law enforcement, what Woody's trying to say, Denny was his, you know, if Denny, you're kind of screwed.
Hey, and so that, hey Jim, your mic's maybe back up from your mic just a little bit. It's doing a little bit of cutting. Go ahead.
So that bond that Woody's talking about with Denny would be incredibly, incredibly close because his life depends upon it. They both depend on each other. You know, when Denny needs Woody, he has to be there and vice versa. That is critically important. And there's no other bond like that bond of somebody that really puts their life on the line for you.
Day in and day out without a split second's notice. I mean, you know, when sugar turns to shit, we were there for each other. But you know, I'm gonna tell you something. Denny was a really likable guy. And let me back up for a second. When I started in law enforcement, there's a guy, his name's Pete Charlay. I call him Brother Pete, and they own some funeral homes in East Baton Rouge and East Feliciana Parish. But he was like a long time reserve deputy or something, I think for Zachary PD. But he told me, he said, Woody, when you get into law enforcement, he said, you need to keep at least one friend that's a civilian. He said, because otherwise you're going to be like every other cop and you get into law enforcement and you get into these situations and you develop these bonds. And the next thing you know, every day off, y'all are going to be together every holiday, every birthday and stuff like that. Well, you know why that is? Because nobody else understands. I mean, even on your downtime, that's it. I mean, that's who we hung out with. We hung out with cops. We hung out with each other and other guys from the sheriff's office. And I guess part of that reason is because we understood. Yeah, I mean, the stress of the job, whether you're pulling dead people out of a car or you're getting shot at or whatever. I mean, when you go home at the end of the day, you got to be able to, you have to leave that at the door. You can't certainly can't bring it into your family and whatever. I mean, so that was true. And I came to find out through the years of working like that, that's it. We were that tight. I mean, beyond family, beyond closer than your closest family. I can't explain it, Jim. I mean, I don't know what else. Wait, your mic's cutting. Do it again.
I said, I'm going to say one more thing. Let me turn the volume down on my side. Maybe that's what it is.
All right.
Maybe that's the thing. You know, when you have one person that you work with all the time like that, the best way to put this in perspective, it's like when a law enforcement officer goes out to work, they have their badge, they have their gun, they have their whole entire duty. And when you get to work, that person that you work with all the time is like an addition to that duty rig. Like you don't go to work without that person. And when they're not there at work that night, like they're on vacation and you got to spend that week when they're not there, it sucks. Yeah. It's like you miss it. It's like, golly, hope nothing bad happens because so-and-so, you know what I mean?
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And it's like a piece of you. And you really become that tight, you know, and you know, I always said law enforcement is the greatest show on earth. And that's because you go through so much shit. And so I just wanted to preface it with that, Now listen, again, Denny, super, super intelligent, super likable guy. And we'll get more into this in a little bit, but shit, he was a good law enforcement professional. I mean, yeah, I knew he had my back and I knew, he was going to make good cases. I knew he treated people right. I mean, it's just, I couldn't ask for a better working partner. And of course we had other people that sometimes we have other people and sometimes he would go to the other side of the parish, whatever. But I'm just telling you that my bond with Denny Perkins and how it started out. Okay. And so this goes on and, of course we were dope kings and I thought all I ever wanted to work was narcotics until I got promoted into regular detectives and I worked my first homicide or child rape case and then realized that the same dope heads we've been chasing around all the time, you know, you arrest them, they get in, they get out, whatever. When I started making good cases on child rapists and murderers, these people are never getting out of prison. So I changed my focus to regular detectives, right? But during the same time frame, we got on the SRT team together, the SWAT team and special response team. Now you're going to talk about take it to a whole new level. The working the street together and not knowing what happens, et cetera, is one thing. But when you're on SRT, and Jim, I'm going to let you touch on it. But when you're on SRT, you are training and we trained a lot and you're training to go in to a life or death situation. When you kick in or you ram in somebody's door in a house on a search warrant, you are expecting fully to be shot at or that's what you train for. And a lot of times that kind of shit happen. And so it's one thing. The uniform patrol bond is one thing. The SRT bond, Jim, I guess it would be closest I could get to what you had in the military, but you were on SRT. I mean, talk about that.
Denny actually was my team leader. When I got on SRT, he and I became even more close, even though we were already working narcotic stuff together. But he was my team leader. And the way that we did our SRT, we did it in 2-week rotations. So the 2 weeks that we're on call, you know, we're responding to anything crazy that happens in the parish. We're doing narcotic search warrants, high risk arrest warrants. And then, so we basically trained all the time. So even when we were on our 2 weeks of call out, you could bet your butt a couple times a week, we were out there training, we're out there shooting, we're out there practicing entering and clearing of rooms, throwing flashbangs, different scenarios. And then our was the same thing, obstacle courses and rifle ranges and just constantly training.
Yeah.
And he was my team leader. I was literally with him every single day.
Yeah. And let me tell you about when you work uniform patrol and stuff like that. You work 2-on, 2-off, 3-on, 2-off, 2-on, 3-off. And I'm telling you, on your days off, the SRT, it was almost always you were up at the range doing some type of training if you weren't on a call out, meaning that you had some search warrants to hit or whatever the situation may be. But they'll give you an example of training, like without giving away any tactics. When you stack up, you got a guy behind you and a guy in front of you, and the guy behind you's got his gun over your shoulder and you've got your gun over the guy in front of your shoulder, and if sugar turns to shit and you have to start shooting, you have to believe that this is how much faith you have in these people. You have to believe that, you know, they're going to do whatever it is, or say you're entering something and they're going to cover whatever area it is that they're supposed to cover and eliminate any threat. And therefore you can keep going forward to do what you have to do to cover your area to stop one of your guys from getting hurt. I mean, it's fucking intense. So the bond grows, right?
A whole lot of trust.
Yeah. The bond grows. Denny ended up going from uniform patrol. Well, let me digress for a second. He became a DARE officer, what is that, drug awareness resistance education officer, where he would go and teach classes to the kids in that age range. So that was part of what he did also. Then he made it up to, working in narcotics. And a lot of times, even when he was in uniform patrol on his days and nights off, he would go out and work narcotics with narcotics guys, just like Jim did before they made narcotics, or detectives. So he had a very successful.
It's springtime, boys. The grass is green, the birds are chirping, and the kids will be out of school soon. That makes it the perfect time to plan a family vacation. And we know from the stories we cover that this is not exactly the time to take the family to the Caribbean. You don't want to end up in the middle of some cartel drug shootout. So this year, it's time to take an international journey. And of course, a big international trip is just one reason to learn a new language with Rosetta Stone. You might have a different one. Maybe you want to connect with family or friends living overseas. Maybe you want to acquire a new skill for work or better understand a certain culture. Rosetta Stone has helped me have fun with my mother and at least have partial conversations in Italian after only a few lessons.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and many more. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. Intuitive process, you pick up a language naturally. Designed for long-term retention. Speech recognition, the true accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Rosetta Stone is convenient and an amazing value.
That's right, Woody. A lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Real Life Real Crime and Daily Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Sayonara.
Shout out to Astepro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
My allergies are throwing my whole morning off. Do I sound different to you?
I love it. You sound like, it's that time of year there, bro.
I sound different to me. I feel like I'm in a submarine.
Yeah, well, have you tried Astepro? It's faster, bro. Oh. All right. Astepro is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astepro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astepro delivers full prescription strength, indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Hey, I use this, and you should too, Jim. Last weekend, I planted my garden, and it's that time of the year, and my allergies really kicked up with it, right? I use Astepro every time my nasal allergies flare up, and I'm always amazed at how fast I'm back in the game, down on those rows, playing my stuff.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astepro. Go to AstaproAllergy.com for a discount so you can Astepro and go today. AsteproAllergy.com. It's faster, bro. Uses directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Astepro and go. Career. All right. Now, Denny has a person that would have you back and everything like that. There was no doubt about it. Now, Denny has personality trait wise. I mean, just be honest with you. Call it what it is. Denny loved women. And I didn't judge him for it. Everybody has their thing, but Denny, I mean, he's a good looking guy, physically fit guy, but I just have to be crude and blunt about it, but he would basically have sex with anything. And I mean, adult, y'all. We didn't know anything about kids. Some of the people, I'd be like, "What the fuck are you doing, man?" I mean, like Skank City, and he'd laugh about it. But that was his thing. I didn't judge him for it. If he went and slept with God and everybody, adult, who am I to judge him, right? But I mean, they even had. He had the nickname. It wasn't given to him by me. I don't know who gave it to him, but it was ED or Evil Dick. And now, all these years later, you think, oh, my God, yeah, I know somebody out there is going to say, oh, y'all should have known and da-da-da-da. But he said Evil Dick because he was – and this is cop talk, being crude, but he was evil to his dick because he put it into anything. I mean, like – you know, I had help me, Jim.
There wasn't a woman who lived in the parish that he didn't go after, for the most part.
That's right.
Or any other parish for that matter.
80 fat, blind, or crazy. If he could put his pecker in it, he tried to. Adult, okay? Adult. And so but that's who he was. That's what his gig. Me, I like to hunt, right? He liked to, I guess, have conquest with women. I don't know. But reason we're doing this is to tell you, let me tell you something. When I got the messages on the plane that day, and Jim, one of them was you, I almost threw up in my mouth when I read the charges. First of all, I had total disbelief. And then I started getting phone calls from people that are still in law enforcement that are in the know. Some that weren't, that had talked to people that were still in law enforcement and were giving them details. And I'm to this day, right now, I'm fucking sick to my stomach. And
oh, yeah.
I couldn't believe it. Like seven stages of grief or whatever, denial, then anger and sadness or whatever. And it really fucked with me. And it really hurt my heart. And it hurts my heart now. But you know what really, really hurts my heart is these children. Okay. At this point, I don't give a fuck about Denny Perkins. Okay. He's dead to me as far as I'm concerned. We'll get into that in a minute. I'm going to talk about these babies, these kids, these innocent kids without going into all the specifics that I know or we know, the babies and their family. And they're all babies to me, y'all, under whatever age, whether in the fifth or sixth grade or whatever, that's still a baby to me. I have a son that age. Right. So the babies and the families, I mean, tell you why it hurts me and it fucks with me so bad. We work so many sex cases, so many child rape cases, and having to sit in on hundreds and hundreds of hours of interviews, child advocacy center interviews, watching these victims, these kids tell about the horrible things that were done to them. Just like in the very first episode that I did for Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast about Double Clutch and Christina Constance. Yeah, in retrospect, I probably shouldn't have started with that episode, although that fucker got four life sentences, because that's hard shit to hear. But we heard this all the time. And here's the deal. Denny, when he was in Regular Detectives, had to work some of those cases too. And so he had to sit in and listen to it and the horror that these families have to deal with and these babies have to deal with. It just makes me want to throw up. And Jim and I talked about it after it came out and stuff, and people were blowing us up about doing something on the podcast. And I was like, man, I'm so sick about it. I can't think about it. So what we did was release the Patreon episode we had put up called Dirty Cop. To the public, and that was where I arrested one of our Livingston Parish deputies, showed up in uniform in a police car to try to have sex with a 15-year-old. It was an undercover sting. So that I thought that would be good enough to put it out there as to where how we feel about dirty cops. Okay. The blue wall, hey, that fucker don't go that deep. there's three kinds of cops, in my opinion. The ones who operate strictly in the white area, and these are the guys who need the badge to feel like a man. They pull you over and they lecture you for 30 minutes before they write you a ticket, and they walk around with their chest all puffed out, but inside they're scared to death that they're going to get into the shit. The black area, that's cops that are raping kids or raping anybody or arresting somebody and saying, hey, you know, I'll let you out of it if you give me a blowjob or whatever, or selling dope or anything like that. It's bullshit. It's not tolerated. All right. Every good cop operates in what I call the gray area. Sometimes rules get pushed in a gray area, but and no fucking rule like having sex with kids or selling dope or, you know, planting evidence. None of that bullshit, man. I'm talking about if you're out on the street and somebody punches you unsolicited and hits you and you get into a fight, well, guess what? He might catch an extra lick when I get up and win. So stuff like that. But that black area bullshit, fuck you, doesn't happen. And it just made me sick, makes me sick. And I know I'm rambling on, skipping around, but I have a lot of things I want to say about this now that we're going to do it. Jim, you got anything?
It's been a difficult and hard pill to swallow. You know, you think back all the times you work together and you think of where this guy's at, and then you start, you know, I know Woody did the same as me, is you start thinking of every single time I was with him, did I ever see a sign of something like this? Did I miss something? But I never did.
Never did. Let me tell you about that. Let's go back to the days off. Okay. Brother Pete Charlet told me about keeping friends that are not cops. I'm going to tell you something. Days off. Hey, we partied together, and all the cops did, you know, your buddies that you're close with, our families got together. Even a lot of the time I was single. I was a single dad when I was working with Denny, but hell, we had all our kids together and he would be there. And I mean, I trusted him 1,000% with she would have been in that age range at the time. My oldest daughter. I mean, it just absolutely no sign. And now listen, I'm not some Joe Schmo citizen who doesn't know, pedophiles and profiles on them and everything else. I put people in prison for it all the time for raping kids. And I cannot tell you not one single time in my entire knowing of Denny Perkins that he ever displayed any kind of sign like that. Now him banging everything on two legs, that's an adult, that's his business. But the kid stuff, absolutely not. Never, ever, ever. And
I agree with Woody. I never saw that myself. But he absolutely would bang women left and right every single day.
Yeah.
But that was what he did as an adult.
Right. That's right. And when now, you know, all these, I don't know how long it's been since their arrest, but, you know, social media and stuff. And we'll get into some more of that in a minute. But people are saying, oh, yeah, well, he arrested me and, you know, maybe have sex with him not to go to jail. Well, you know what? If he did that, you need to go file charges. I'm sorry that happened to you. I'm not saying it didn't, but I can tell you, I didn't know anything about that. Jim Raffman didn't know anything about that. And the other people, I'm going to tell you the reason we're doing this today. I was up 3 o'clock in the morning. Somebody had put on Facebook yesterday. Last night I read one of the comments said that I must be a pedophile too, because I work with Denny Perkins. Now I talked about Denny in several of the episodes I did at some gym before you were co-host, and I talk about working with him because he was there. Shit. It's the stories, but some motherfucker put that I must be a pedophile because I worked with him and I had to know what he was doing. Well, you know what? You can go eat a bowl of dicks, asshole. And I didn't know, and nobody else knew either. All right. Let me tell you the profile on a preferential offender. Okay. And Denny is a preferential offender. A preferential offender is a person who uses their position of authority or gains trust to their victims' families or whatever. They groom their victims, okay? The profile also shows every one of them are highly intelligent. Doesn't mean they're formally educated, but they're smart. Now, you have to throw in narcissistic and maybe psychopathic. I don't fucking know. But I'm going to tell you something. I've trained in it. I've arrested. I can't tell you how many people before it and gotten so many confessions, et cetera. And he fucking pulled the wool over my eyes, guaranteed. If he was doing it back then, he pulled it over my eyes and everybody else's. So for you to say that we're all dirty and pedophiles because of what Denny Perkins did, that's bullshit. Okay. I'm sorry, Jim, I'm beginning to rant.
You know, the thing is, it's not only had all the department, he had all the state police schools, the federal law enforcement that he knew. Everybody that he knew in law enforcement that worked with him on a regular basis was completely fooled. If it was that easy to walk around the street, look at somebody and go, "Ah, you're a pedophile. Ah, you're a murderer."
Right.
But, you know, that'd be the most wonderful gift in the world if we had the ability to do that, but we don't. So to go out and do something like that is purely ignorant. Kind of makes me wonder what they're hiding.
Right. Yeah. Or if they didn't get arrested or whatever, but themselves for something. But I'm going to talk about this. Jim, I know I'm skipping around a lot, but I just don't have a thought process on it. But I want to say a couple of things while we're on this part of the subject. I don't care if I catch shit for it, but I'm going to tell you why I shouldn't, because it's the truth. I want to talk about after Denny got arrested. I'm going to tell you this. I left the Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office at the end of 2007. To go be a criminal investigator too for Louisiana State Police. At that time, prior to that, I'm going to tell you who my best friends were. And I'm talking about best friends to the point we did everything together. We hunted together. We did Mardi Gras balls together, rode in the crew together. We did everything together, family to get together. There wasn't a time we had off that we weren't together, and it wasn't a time we were working that we weren't together. That is one of them is Jason R. And Jason R, since I left the sheriff's office, has become the parish for the sheriff for Livingston. And I can tell you why I can say this and be unbiased, because I haven't spoken to Jason in over 10 years. Regardless how close we were back then, for whatever reason, we hadn't spoke. I don't have any animosity towards him. I respect him as a professional, but I watched the press conference when this first broke, and Jason's talking about how Denny's family, but it's the same thing we just told y'all on this. Jason was upset. He's a human being, and he was upset. He didn't say anything about the victims right away, because he was talking about his relationship or prior relationship, the family part with Denny. And I know he came back and he changed it afterwards, because the public outcry was about, oh God, he didn't say anything about the kids. But you know what? He wasn't talking about the kids at that part that they showed. He was talking about his relationship with Denny Perkins, personal relationship, how violated he felt the trust and how crushed he was and everything. And let me tell you something. Jason Ard, his top criminal deputy, chief criminal deputy, which is Brian Paul Smith. Brian Paul and I went to the law enforcement base, to the academy together. We came up through the ranks together. Y'all have heard me talk about him on episodes. He's Jason's chief criminal deputy. Okay. Denny, at the time of his arrest, had Jason's old job before he became chief operations, which was being over the SRT team. Let me tell you something. I know right now, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that if they could get their hands on Denny Perkins, they'd fucking kill him. All right. There is no cover up on their part. And I haven't talked to Jason Ard in 10 years. I've seen Brian Paul, and we were best friends. And I've seen him once
in probably the last 7 or 8 years. And that was like 6 months ago. Talked to him for like 3 minutes outside a conference. He was attending one conference. I was attending another with my father. And these guys, we had our kids with Denny. When we had the get togethers and we went to the Mardi Gras balls and, or we went on fishing trips or hunting trips. We were together, man. And I'm telling you, they have no more responsibility in this than I do or Jim Rathman does or whatever. And I hadn't talked to him. I can tell you the people that I knew, they will never, ever put up with this. These are dedicated law enforcement professionals that given their whole life to defending the citizens and the people of Livingston Parish and putting bad guys in jail. And the fact that they was trying to flip it on Jason so hard, and it really hurt my heart for him. I mean, and because he's, I'm going to tell you something, Livingston Parish residents, you're lucky to have that dude as your sheriff. You're lucky to have Brian Paul as your chief criminal deputy. And I know there are people out there that they've arrested over the years. And I want some of my friends that don't like Brian Paul told me, oh, yeah, but he did me wrong one time. I'm like, well, sorry about that. And yeah, he still got my respect. He's my boy. We came up together. All right. And Jason, same way. And I can say it from a non-bias. I haven't been in the Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office since 11, 12 years and haven't talked to them since long after that. I'm telling you, it's bullshit, people. Let's talk about this. The Baton Rouge. Go ahead, Jim.
You know, I watched that press conference as well, and, you know, my heart is for Jason also. And I will say, you know, when my time that I had at the sheriff's office, Jason obviously wasn't the sheriff at the time. He was the chief of operations. He was still a part of SWAT. Brian Paul and I were on SWAT together. I stand behind him. There's a few more that I want to mention. I'll get to mention later on. But I will say, without a shadow of doubt, you couldn't have a better person leading the parish than Sheriff Jason Ard. And you couldn't have a better chief deputy as Brian Paul. And I stand behind them 100,000%. And I can guarantee you that if they had any inkling whatsoever that that's what Denny did in his personal life, behind closed doors in a way, they would have made their arrest themselves.
That's right. But the
doubt about it.
Let me say this. I think Jason caught a lot of flack because that press conference part that they showed that he didn't start it out about the victims. But I've seen Jason are mad. He's fucking mad. He's pissed. And he's pissed at Denny and everything else. But I'm going to tell you that this is not the Jason Ard show or Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office show. This show is about Denny Perkins. And again, what makes me sick is the victims. I know Jason has come back out and readdressed that issue many, many times. And I'm just telling y'all that all the guys I came up with, even before you got there, Jim, they're all in high ranking positions now. Ben Bourgeois over detectives. Alden Thomas, I don't even know what Alden does now, if he's still there. I mean, these are jam up law enforcement professionals, and we were all that tight. We were all that tight, and Denny was in that mix. And I'm telling you, yes, did we see anything? Absolutely not. It makes me sick to my stomach. And I know it makes every one of those guys sick. And I haven't talked to him in years, but I'm telling you, I know it makes him sick. And it just makes everything just so bad. And these poor babies and their families . I'm gonna start touching on that now, Jim. One of the mamas of the victims reached out to me, and she's gonna remain anonymous, and I'm not gonna say her name, etc. But she was actually contacted by the school board, by the Attorney General's Best Office investigator, and her child is definitely one of the children who ingested what they're calling contaminated food. Well, y'all, let me tell you what that means. Denny masturbated she believes it's four different food items. Originally, people had said cupcakes, but she said cupcakes, donuts, petit fours, whatever that is, and something else. I forget what she told me. But anyway, they have video proof of it. Him masturbating into these batters, and his wife would bake up the goods and bring them to school and feed them to her classroom kids and take photographs of it and then allegedly go home and share them with Denny. How did they know this? I was told off the record that when they raided his house, let me tell you this, let me back up. The Attorney General's office evidently started working this. They're huge, y'all, on the child sex division on online sex stuff. And that's how they got the original tip and led into an investigation, who it was, et cetera. So they do a raid, and I was told that they took so much shit out of Denny and Cynthia's house. Like, it was wired like better than any movie studio, cameras everywhere. I mean, like, freaky. You couldn't imagine. While I'm talking about cameras in every room in the inside of the house and stuff, microphones almost as important for the sexual deviant to do the deviant act in the profile is for them to record it in some way, whether it's to watch back later on, et cetera, but whatever. So let me tell you something. Attorney General's office is not coming with 60 counts of child porn and the rape counts too, y'all, and without proof. Okay. And they're not coming, and they're certainly not going to come against a law enforcement officer, career law enforcement officer, unless they come correct. And so I know my information is good. I know that Denny Perkins did this. From what I was told about the evidence and the videos and photographs and this is all coming to me weeks after the arrest, getting piecemealed here and there. And I would just talk to Jim about it. I just get sicker and sicker. And so the thought of him masturbating into batters or goods, whatever you want to call it, and then baking it up and then taking it to school and feeding it to innocent children. Yeah, I'm telling you, it makes me want to puke right now. It fucking makes me so mad. I'm going to knock the wall out. And if it was one of my kids, then he wouldn't see trial. I can promise you that.
Damn right.
I've dealt with such depravity when it came to people raping babies, and those assholes, every one of them are in Angola, and women too. Such depraved.
Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, right? Boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day, that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email, or she can record her voice if she prefers to do that, or she can do both. Cool. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book, as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different, and in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house. And when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard. And when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with my life in a book is simple, and in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
But I've never, ever, you couldn't dream that shit up. They mean, what is your thought process, man? What is your thought process on that? And and yet we're supposed to have known this, right? How the hell you know what goes on behind closed doors, you know? And he had everybody fooled, but there is no such thing as the perfect crime. And eventually what's dark done in darkness comes to light. And that he fucked up somehow and they got the evidence on it. And I'm glad. And I'm praying for these babies and this mama. All they told her was that he's been tested for STDs, being Denny, has been tested for STDs and they came back negative, which knowing the people he was with when I knew him, I find that shocking to say the least. I mean, some of the skank, I'm just telling you how it is, Jim. I know I probably should say that.
Well, no, I agree with you.
I mean, I'm talking about like people that were known, like, I'm not good. It's bad. Bad. But anyway, the mom said that, they have photographs of her baby eating the baked goods on 2 separate occasions. And this came from the Attorney General's office, told her. I just can't imagine. I cannot imagine their pain. I just don't know.
It puts tears in my throat about it. I can't imagine what those families are going through. All those babies that had to experience this, their lives are forever changed. I mean, you're talking a lot of kids, their families, the lack of trust that they're going to have with teachers, the lack of trust they're going to have with law enforcement. And it's just completely sad and disgusting case. I still don't believe it.
But let me tell you, a double kick in the nuts for me is my wife's name is Cynthia. Denny's wife's name was Cynthia. Denny's wife was 5th and 6th grade teacher. My wife teaches 5th and 6th grade in Livingston Parish, not at the same school. And I don't know. She told me today, she said, I had to go to Walmart to get something to bake for the Thanksgiving thing tomorrow. I'm like, shit, they letting y'all bring food stuff to school? And she's like, yeah. I just don't understand the statistics, and I know all the definitions and the fancy shit. Okay. I'm certified in all United States federal courts as an expert witness in law enforcement matters. And I know But it take whether Denny got her and because she had kids that age, I don't know. Or whether he groomed her, I don't know. Or whether she was just as sick as him, and I don't know. And not ever going to know. But I could tell you this, saying that all law enforcement should have known that Denny did that because we worked together. Well, what about her principal? What about all the teachers of the school? Are they all pedophiles? Are they all bad people? I mean, you think there's not a decent breathing human being that has heard this story that isn't sick to their fucking stomach or that can say that they, I mean, well, you know what? We got to go back and talk about the Baton Rouge cop because we can catch shit on that. I only saw it from what was on the news. This guy came forward and he said I think it was in 2011, he came forward and supposedly, Denny was found in the bed with his stepdaughter. I forget the age, like, I don't know, he's 11 or 12, something like that. And, playing tickle games. Well, that's part of preferential part as far as if you look at him, if you thought he was an offender, that's, you know, they would sometimes tickle their victims or play games with them or whatever and see if the victim resisted. And if they don't, then they'll take it a little bit further. It's like a mental stimulation for him to trip out and see how much he can get away with. Cause guess what? The sickest part of that profile and that personality is that every fucking day Denny put on the uniform and the badge and the gun, he got almost as much emotional charge out of knowing that he conned every son of a bitch in the parish, including Woody Overton, and that he's this good guy. And that's what they get off on. He can sit in a room full of people, cops at a training on sex or work a child sex case and sit there and be thinking all his dirty thoughts and thinking, oh, these stupid fuckers, I got them fooled. They don't know the real Denny Perkins, right? I don't know, man. But there is the focus should be on the victims and their families. Okay. Now back to the 2011 thing, the cop came forward and, a Baton Rouge PD officer. I've seen him around. I don't know him personally. And he said that he made a complaint to Jason Ard about that. And, from what I saw, Jim, correct me if I'm wrong. Supposedly the state police were, notified and there was nothing criminal found to be done. And Jason brought him in and, asked him about it or whatever. And of course, Denny's going to deny it. But there was no formal complaints act against is what my understanding. I may have it wrong. If I do, I apologize. But I'm telling you again, and I hadn't talked to him by a couple of years by this point. If Jason would have believed for a second that he had had something credible to go on, I'm telling you, he'd have done it. And everyone in that sheriff's office would have done it. So I don't know about that, the case and the tickling thing and why it didn't move forward other than supposedly there was no official complaint or whatever. But I saw that cop when they interviewed him on the news and he said they went to counseling and the counselor said, well, he's a predator and whatever. Well, and maybe the counselor's right. I mean, obviously the counselor is right now, but if you don't have a complaint, you can't act on it. Right, Jim?
That's correct.
I mean, I don't know what to say about that, but the, so
I don't know much about that issue with the bed with 11 or 12 year old. I was overseas at that time.
Yeah, no, I was long gone. I've been gone for like 4 or 5 years.
But I do know that there is a handful of people at that sheriff's office up at the top. Most importantly, Jason, and you're 100% right. If Jason had any indication whatsoever, even from that back in 2011, he would have done the right thing. I can guarantee it.
Yeah. And I don't know exactly what he did. And I didn't read up on the news articles, et cetera, about it. But I'm like, I don't have to, because I know he did everything that he could do. And of course, you're talking about his probably, they grew up together in the same town, much less their law enforcement careers. I mean, so it would be like you, the listener, your best friend or your husband or your wife, being accused of something and they've never showed any signs of anything like that. I mean, you would have to, if you were in that position, you'd have to listen to it and act upon it, which from what I understand, he did, but there was no formal complaint or criminal thing, whatever. But I don't keep speaking about exactly what I don't know all the details, but I know the people at the top wouldn't have let it slide. So if there had something to act upon, and including the state police, the purpose of this episode is to let y'all know that there's no way we could have known. I mean, him having a sexual addiction or whatever you want to call it to sleeping or having sex with everything that Walt, that was an adult, and then making jokes about it and the nickname and all that. That's one thing. But if I'd ever known anything, Jim Raffman would know anything, Jason, Brian, Paul, any of them would know anything, he'd have been dealt with a long time ago. I'm thankful that.
You got to do that. He didn't have a lot of sex in his life and was always running around with different women. I was an LSU football player. Let me just tell you how many guys I've known in my day that would have multiple women a week, sometimes a night, and so on. It's not really that uncommon. So it wasn't much of an indicator, at least for me, it wasn't. But what he did behind closed doors, there's no way I could ever have fathomed something like that with him. He was around my family. He was around my children. I never thought of a million years.
Yeah, absolutely. Shit, we laughed together. We cried together, fought together, whatever. I got knots in my back and my stomach's flipping thinking about it. I will never, ever, ever understand the depravity and these poor families. And that's what it's really about, y'all. I'm going to urge anybody that listens to it. If there's any truth to these allegations that Denny Perkins forced you to have sex, to not go to jail, and he picked you up on dope charges or something, goddamn, go report it. Put more charges on him, you know? I'm going to tell you right now, unequivocally, and this is hard, unequivocally, Denny Perkins is dead to me. He's dead to me. And I don't give a fuck about the due process or whatever. I know what I know. It's like cutting out a piece of my heart out. And that's what Jason was saying in that press conference. It's not about us though, y'all. I'm hurting. Jim's hurting and Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office hurting, but it's not about us. Let's make it about the victims. Okay. So pray for the families and the victims, and anybody else. If he ever did something wrong to you, stalked you, there was something, a report about him stalking that family afterwards, Jim, at a gas station or something. If he did that shit, go report it. If Denny Perkins ever did anything illegal to you, especially in his official capacity, go report it. Put charges on his ass. Not like he can get many more, right? But it needs to be known. And that way there's transparency and you'll see that Jason Ard and Brian Paul and of course, Mr. Ronnie's over civil, but Mr. Ronnie killed him himself. Mr. Ronnie Morris. Those people won't put up with it, y'all. Go make the complaint. And it won't be, they're act upon it now just because, he's in jail for all this shit. It would be because it's the right thing to do. So I urge you to come forward. If you've been a victim, come forward. So I don't know. I'm sure I'm leaving something out, Jim, but we'll do something again on this after. I wasn't going to do anything on it. Well, we weren't going to do anything on it until after some of the court proceedings. But some of the shit that's out there right now is so outlandish. When you're calling out all law enforcement officers or pedophiles because you worked with them and bashing on the sheriff and his people and all that. Hey, man, there's good and bad in every profession. You know, and like Jim said, I know plenty of people who are addicted to sex and who had as much sex as they could in their younger years, et cetera, who aren't raping babies or putting sperm in baked goods for kids to eat. So it's not an indicator. And the focus is put him away for the rest of his life. Put her away for the rest of her life and get the people the help that they need. Jim, you still with me?
Yeah, I'm still with you. You know, I will say my thought prayers are with all the victims, all of them. Terribly sorry that this happened and that you have to go through all this experience. Our heart is broken for you. It's a terrible thing to have happen. As far as Dennis is concerned, he needs to get what he deserves. Same with his wife. I know with everything that's gone on in the press conference we talked about earlier, I'm telling you, I believe in Jason Ard. I believe in Brian Paul and a lot of those people over there at Livingston Parish. They're great people. They have your back. They have the citizens' backs. Nobody does more for the citizens of Livingston Parish, Jason Ard.
Yeah, they said.
As far as it is to see through that press conference, he was coming from he's hurt. He's human just like the rest of us. But don't for a second think he isn't thinking about those victims. I promise you he's thinking about each and every one of them, praying for each and every one of them. Jason is by far one of the best people I've ever known.
Yeah.
When I worked at the office, when I was young, and I was just learning the ropes, he was the one that came and put his arm around me, and had a good talk with me, and taught me some things. He's also the same one that I talked to when I worked in the Secret Service several years later, up in Washington, D.C., when he reached out to me. Yeah. Jason is an amazing guy. I love him to death. I support him 100,000%. I support Brian Paul. You know, I believe everything. They do, and I believe that they would have done something about this had they known.
Yeah.
With that said, again, our heartfelt condolences to all the victims. It's terrible. We feel we can't believe that this happened, and we're so terribly sorry that it happened to you. But we're going to be for you nonstop.
Yeah, praying for you, and I'm going to tell you from the bottom of my heart. Yeah, I wish I would have known. I wish I'd have seen the sign. Because we'd have done his ass a long time ago. Those evil wears masks, man. And, for the families and everything, I really, really hope. I shouldn't even say this, but I'm going to say it. I, Denny Perkins, I hope you hear this one day, you fuck stick. And I hope you do the honorable thing, whatever you think it may be. That by not having to put these families through CACs, child advocacy center interviews, you know the process, you fucker, and the stuff these kids are going to have to go through, and jury trials and stuff like that. If you do that, you just need to do something honorable and take yourself out of this picture, plea out, whatever. Take it to what you mean. Do something decent in your life and not put these kids through this judicial process.
He was a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Fucking monster.
Wolf in sheep's
clothing. I don't know. I don't know what else to say about it, y'all. Like I said, it's raw and unscripted, and it felt with the stuff being said, we just had to do something, and we were going to wait, and we'll do something after more stuff comes out if he's stupid enough to go to trial. But he had like a preliminary hearing, I think last week or the week before, and he canceled it at the last second because he's a little bitch. Because in the preliminary hearing, the facts were going to come out, and he knew all the media was in there because he's a little bitch. And of course, y'all know he's being housed in protective custody, Department of Corrections at Elaine Hunt's, which is where every prisoner that gets sentenced in the state of Louisiana has to go through the processing center at Hunt's Corrections Prison. And they have him over there because they're going to kill him. And the inmates, especially, you think about, if let's say he was a dirty cop and I didn't know about it, make a dirty arrest or whatever, et cetera. That's one thing that if you go to prison on something like that, when you go in for raping babies and doing that other shit, and you're a cop, you're walking dead, man, is what you are. Then prison wall safe enough for you. So
just man walking.
Yeah. Dead man walking. That's right. That's what it was. So, but anyway, y'all, we appreciate you listening. It's tough. We'll do something later on as more of the facts come out. But like I said, Denny Perkins, I hope you do the right thing and not let this go forward. But later on, we'll do something. And look, for all you people who want to flip and say, you know, we're taking up for cops and da da da. Look, I hadn't been a cop in, I retired from law enforcement 6 years ago. All right. But I always have blue in me. And, fuck them. Fuck Denny Perkins and any other cop who does anything in the black area. Got nothing for them, never will. And you can't say that I'm buddy-buddy with Jason R. because we hadn't talked in 10 or more years. I'm just telling you. You're never going to catch shit anyway, Jim, because they're going to have the haters, but it is what it is. I don't really give a fuck. You can do, say what you want to. I'm telling you the truth as it is known to me, that being Woody Overton. And I stand behind what I say. So. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Tough, man. Tough.
It's a real tough episode to do. It really is. But at the end of the day, I don't feel bad for where Denny's going and what's going to happen to him. But I will always feel bad for the countless amount of victims that are out there that are going to have to live with this for the rest of their lives. That just absolutely breaks my heart to pieces.
That's what makes me sick.
I wish it never had happened to them. I cannot fathom what their families are going through and what the victims are going through. I just can't fathom it. But I would definitely be praying for them. Yeah. And as what happens with Denny happens with Denny. I don't really care. I'm like you. I don't like those that are in the black area. Those dirty cops. I don't like it. I'll never like it. I just don't give a shit what happens to him going forward, but I absolutely care about each and every one of those victims.
Yeah, and y'all, I'm sick to my stomach. I'm sick to my stomach for the victims, and I'm sick to my stomach that I didn't catch him all those years ago or whatever, if he was doing it back then. But I'm not sick to my stomach for Denny Perkins. Fuck Denny Perkins and the horse he rode in on. So. But for the victims and your families, God bless y'all and praying for you. And thank y'all for listening. I don't think we should have dropped this any earlier, but it just reached such a crescendo. We had to give a response. But there it is, raw and unscripted.
Yep.
And from the heart. And I appreciate each and every one of y'all. Thank you for listening. And, like and sharing and patron members and all that good stuff. I don't really feel like talking about all that cheerful stuff right now, so we're going to end it. Jim, you got anything else?
No, that's it. It's been a tough emotional hour.
Yeah.
For all this, but, you know, we love, appreciate all our fans and all our patron members and everything else. We appreciate you guys for listening and always having our backs and sharing the stories and whatnot. But, it is what it is.
Yeah, and just stay tuned. We had some really big things coming up, and we'll be making some announcements, but tonight's not tonight. And, you know, we always end it with, until next time or ever, don't let us catch you down and murder by you. But I'm going to end this one with, fuck you, Denny Perkins. You're a murder by you. I'm done, y'all. Your host, Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast, Woody Overton, and my co-host,
Jim Rathman,
the Hitman Rapping. And we're out. Peace, y'all.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.